That's the end of the first half. As the teams head to the locker room, the Spartans lead the Bulldogs by a score.
You guys stink.
Jeez, Coach, we're only down a couple of points.
No, I mean you guys really smell. You need to hit the showers. And here, I got every one of you new bars of soap from the Sterling Soap Company. Each bar is artisan crafted using natural ingredients and essential oils. They also have shave soaps, colognes, beard balm, and a whole lot more. Now get in there.
But Coach, we have another half to play.
I don't care. I can't stand to be around you.
A few minutes later.
All right, bring it in tight. You guys are still playing terrible, but you're smelling great out there. Now listen, you're going to need to stock up for the rest of the season. We got a lot of tough games left. So go to sterlingsoap.com after the game. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com. You got that?
Yes, Coach.
Great. sterlingsoap.com on three. One, two, three.
sterlingsoap.com.
We'd like to welcome everybody back to the Football's Family Podcast, and I'll say this time of year is really big for a lot of people. Obviously, this is the whole football podcast type thing, but I've grown up before the Titans came, with very little preseason hype. My Broncos were far away. I didn't get ESPN. Really wasn't a big thing until much later on, before the Titans came in. It started becoming bigger and bigger. So I didn't get to really keep up with the Broncos much. I remember reading a newspaper article from the Tennessean saying that Mike Shanahan was hired as a coach. And I remember telling my parents, well, Mike Shanahan's hired as a coach, and he's apparently a good coach and could win us a Super Bowl or two. And they went, whatever. Well, that was the preseason type hype that I had. I remember watching preseason games, hoping that the Broncos would be on NBC or CBS or Fox or whatever it is, but knowing that I wouldn't be able to see them regularly. You know, when you had the Sunday ticket, you could see whatever games you want. I had it for free one year, and I watched Jay Cutler with the Bears a lot. But whatever the case is, with the advent of the internet, the 24-hour sports cycles, I'm looking at my computer screen, my phone screen and my tablet screen at the same time, with all these different sports groups, Yahoo Sports, NFL.com, that sort of stuff. It's obvious that we get a lot more information than we did before. And I've got two magazines that I'm reading through at home, Athlon and Lindy's, I believe, are the two I got that I look forward to every year getting. So there's a whole lot more preseason hype. That being said, with all this information going on, and this isn't new, but with all this information going, do you feel like we put way too much stock in preseason games and preseason polls? Like, yeah, Texas is number one in a poll, and people that I've read are having a problem. Well, Texas isn't this and that. No one's played anything yet. No one's played anything yet. The polls will shake up in week two or three. Maybe week four. Week one typically does not have a lot of people losing who are high up in the listing, because they play cupcake teams that want $1 million or $2 million payout to fund their football team for the rest of the year. That's how that works. I get that. That's not an issue with me. But whatever the case is, do not be upset that your team is ranked two in the preseason poll or five, because those polls will change real quick. SEC has like seven or eight in this particular poll in the top 25. That'll change. It did last year big time. That'll change. Your team, if you look at last week's preseason games, we had ties. The Chiefs lost to the Cardinals. My Titans got blown out by the Buccaneers. The Cowboys lost. The Steelers won. That Steelers-Jaguar game is going to be, we'll probably talk about that in another podcast, the kick that just about blew up that football. That to me is neat, to give people the chances to play. You have a lot of kids who just either got drafted or more likely are free agents out of college that may or may not make that team, but could make another team, and they're getting opportunities to play. And that's what's awesome about this. I'm looking around at the teams that did well last year that didn't do so hot in the preseason game, and then the teams that did fine in the preseason game didn't necessarily do well last year. Do you put a lot of stock in what you see in preseason games? Now, I would say this, that the better team You'll probably find, I guess, since there's only three preseason games now, maybe game two will show you more. I remember growing up when there were four preseason games, you look at the third game as the really when the teams play their starters for the longer period of time. They don't do that so much now. But these teams that I'm looking at, the big thing that I've had a problem with people overhyping is Shedeur Sanders. Now, let me tell you something about him. He had an amazing game, two touchdowns in the first preseason game. He played a lot of the snap. He did an amazing job. And that's something that, again, you're glad that a guy like him can do those things. Fifth round draft pick. He wasn't even the first draft pick picked up by the Browns at that time. But do you really put as much hype as the NFL's people are in this particular player in this particular game? Do you think that he is going to be the next great star, or is he playing against a team like the Panthers, who are not necessarily great to begin with, but are not playing their starters either? Do you feel like, look at his stats: 14 for 23, 138 yards for with two touchdowns. Pretty good. Pretty good. But do you put stock that this is going to be your starting quarterback? The Browns have a ton of quarterbacks, and many of them could be playing this year. I don't know if I would put that much faith in the fact that Shedeur Sanders will be either my starter or will be on the roster by the end of the year. I want you to think about this for just a second. Let me pull up here the team, the quarterbacks. Joe Flacco will make the team simply because he is the most reliable one that they know. Dylan Gabriel was picked high enough that when he's healthy, he's going to make the team. I think Tyler Huntley will not make the team. I don't believe he will. But he did play Monday, or he did play this past weekend. Kenny Pickett probably won't make the team either. I don't know where he will go. Shedeur Sanders, it's either between him and Kenny Pickett. Would you put Shedeur Sanders as your emergency quarterback? You have Dylan Gabriel as your second quarterback, and then you had Joe Flacco as your first. What would you do if you were that type of if you're a Browns fan? What would you want? To me, I would want Joe Flacco to start the season. Do not play him in the preseason game. Start him out. You picked Dylan Gabriel in third round. Why did you pick him over Shedeur Sanders? You did use a draft pick on Shedeur Sanders. Are you parading him out as a potential trade bait for somebody who said, well, I want somebody with his skill set, so I'll give you X pick for it. You might get better than a fifth round pick. And if you do that, then do you keep another quarterback on your roster, or do you cut everybody that's in your quarterback room pretty much and then bring back one like Kenny Pickett or anybody else, Tyler Huntley? Do you bring them back as your emergency quarterback? Do you keep four quarterbacks on your roster, which I think would be it wouldn't be great considering how many people you have to fill out a team. So I don't know. Do you think that Shedeur Sanders, because of what he did in one preseason game, is your future in the Browns? That's the same thing that I could say about my Titans with Cam Ward. I was listening to a couple of things about their practices with Tampa Bay and then with the Falcons. Cam has struggled because he is in a different situation with the Titans as he was with the Hurricanes, and that's simply because he is in the NFL. Any rookie put in a situation like he is going to be put in will have that problem. And not only will they have that problem, but they will be put in a situation where they're not going to be the top guy in the league. In fact, if you are picked number one, you are going to find that there's going to be a lot of people who are out to get you. Not only are they out to get you, but they're going to come full speed at you because you're number one. I think Cam Ward is the kind of guy, like I told you a couple of weeks ago, that will be that kind of guy that could rise above that. And what I'm hearing about him is that he is that kind of guy that will do that. But how Cam Ward plays in the preseason, how is it that you can view this as a as a kind of a precursor to what he can do in the NFL during the regular season. You remember, I remember hearing tell about maybe Greg Maddux or whoever it was during the preseason games, during the games where before the regular season where they're warming up down in Florida or Texas or Arizona, that he was getting home runs launched on him and his ERA was high. And I thought, well, that's not a good thing. Turns out the coaches were telling him to use one pitch and work on that one pitch. And of course, when you're working on that one pitch, people are going to tee off on it if it's a breaking ball or if they know a curveball's coming or if it's a fastball or whatever it may be. They're going to tee off on it because they know it's coming. But what Greg Maddux would do or other pitchers would do is they would fine-tune placement and speed. And they would do that in a live game where the stakes were a little different. Well, yes, preseason games can kind of show you how a player is. But a Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward or even a Jackson Dart or anybody else who is new to this league, you're going to find that preseason games can show them that there's going to be a lot more different things coming at them. But if they fail at the first preseason game or the second one does not mean that they're going to do poorly the rest of the year or the rest of their career. Now, if you continue to do that, that might be a little different, but don't take highs or lows as who they're going to be. Just breathe. Overreaction is not going to work as an NFL fan or a college fan. If your team is not number one in the preseason polls there for AP or whatever it is, doesn't mean they won't be within about 3 or 4 weeks. Texas will lose a game this year. They will lose a game this year. They play in the SEC. Texas is a great team, probably the best team in the nation right now, but they will lose a game. I don't think that I'm looking at all the schedule. I don't think that any of the top tier teams are going to go undefeated. I might be wrong, but I don't think any of the top tier teams are going to go undefeated. It's hard to go undefeated in today's Well, in today's situation, I'm about to say parity, but there's no parity now that people can pay for their players to come. But how you view your team right now should not be dependent upon the first preseason game or the first preseason poll. Breathe, enjoy it. More games are coming up. My Titans play Friday on the NFL Network, and I'll probably find a place to watch that. I'm looking forward to seeing how this year plays out, but I'm also knowing that don't ring the alarm bell right now. Wait till about week three for the Titans, and then we'll start ringing the alarm bell. Thank you for listening to the Football's Family Podcast.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know that. Can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you got to do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.